Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all here today. My name is Joel Smith, and I am the children's pastor. And recently, my family moved from Portland, Oregon, all the way to Sugar Land, Texas, and it's been a pretty cool adventure. Oftentimes, people will come and say, so how are you doing? How's the adjustment going? Are you making it? And we're doing well. I came up with a top 10 list, but in the essence of time, I'll only share with you three of my top 10 notices of differences between the greater Portland area and the greater Houston area. All right, number one, wildlife. Now, when I figure, hey, we're moving out of the great Northwest, there's not going to be a whole lot of wildlife in Texas because it's all civilized. Well, I think I have seen more wildlife in my first 6 months than I've actually seen in the Oregon area. And part of that, yes, we have forests and mountains, and so they stay away from towns, whereas here they're in and around us. But I mean, I've seen probably 150 deer, incredible. I've seen an alligator gar, which I've always wanted to see. I've seen an alligator. I've seen four or five different kinds of turtles. There's like a hawk in our neighborhood that eats the squirrels. It's so cool. So I did not expect that. In Oregon, you know, I saw a raccoon, a possum, I've seen deer, I've seen elk. I did one time stumble across a bobcat, and he did not back down, and I did not back down, and that was kind of freaky. But anyway, so that's one unique thing that I did not expect. Another thing, you guys don't know how good you have it with trash. Now you're saying, okay, what are you talking about? Well, in the Portland area, you get one trash can, and if your lid is lifted, there's a $6 penalty. So if it's not resting down, $6. If you have a trash bag on the side of your trash can, another $6. $6 upcharges. And here, you have two trash days, at least in my neighborhood. I'm like, are you kidding me? How do you get by with two trash days? This is awesome. And then what's super cool is that you can put anything out in front of your house and typically it will magically disappear. And I asked them, well, what's up with that? And they're like, well, just be careful what you put out near the street because someone will just come by and claim it. Well, for example, when we moved here, we had to get rid of one of our old refrigerators. So the process for getting rid of an old refrigerator is you find a friend who has a pickup, you schedule time with them, together you go to the dump, you pay a penalty of $35 to $50, depending on what it is, for dumping the refrigerator to reclaim the Freon, and that's your day. And here, you stick it in front of your house, and the trash machine just goes, it's pretty cool. So trust me, you don't know how good you have it there. And then another thing that's interesting, you may know this, but Oregon has a law that you cannot pump your own gas. And why, you know, I've heard different reasons to provide jobs, to protect the environment. It's just a quirky law. And so, you know, I was not born in Oregon. My family was. But, you know, there's times where you, like, pull up to the gas station and you have to wait. And it's like, can I just get out of my car and do it? And I would even sometimes go out and, like, help people along and I would be informed, you know, there's a state law that you may not do that. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll step back. But those are just three differences. I have more. But in the essence of time, we'll actually get to what I'm supposed to be doing. All right. Well, I have a little fill in the blanks, and you'll see there's a brain down there. So if you like to doodle while you listen, you can doodle in the brain. It actually does have something to do with the lesson. Well, we are continuing in our talk of Ephesians. And today's lesson is going to be on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And an incredible section, and you know we've been talking about sitting, walking, and standing, and as I was trying to think of what would be a good title for the lesson, I felt like step up would continue with the progression. So we're going to start by reading the first part, and I know it was mentioned in the Bible reading earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and hit it again. It's not very long. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking.
They are darkened in their understanding and separated from a life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, continually lusting for more. When I look at a passage like this, I tend to look for words that stand out to me. So what are some bold letters that stand out to me? Some of those bold letters are thinking, darkened, separated, ignorance, hardening, lost, and indulge. And we're not going to spend our time focusing on this part of the message, but this reminds me when we're talking about steps of a very similar passage in Romans chapter 1, when God reveals how man steps down, natural man steps away from God. And so I thought I would review those seven steps down from Romans chapter 1, verse 21. First step, glorified him not as God. Second step, not thankful to him. Third step, vain in their thinking. Fourth, inner life dark and foolish, wicked. Profess to be wise. Change God's glory and liken God to beast. And you can see how it starts off kind of smooth and then it gets worse and worse. And you look at a passage like this, at least I do, and I'm like, okay, they likened God to a beast. Well, we're not out here worshiping animals and trees and, you know, rivers and suns and things like that. But have we ever exchanged the creator for the created thing? And that's where you say, okay, now you're kind of meddling. Well, you go back up the list. What's the first thing? Glorified him not as God. Have you ever been guilty in your life of not honoring God as God? I have. And then the next step down, not thankful to him. Are you grateful to God? Have you ever spent a time where you're whining or complaining about life? That's what God really got onto the Israelites for, is the fact that they weren't thankful to him, even though he was leading them out in a different direction. Continuing on, pride. Have you ever been guilty of pride? I have. Inner life becomes dark and foolish, wicked. They profess to be wise. What's wrong is right. What's right is wrong. And it just continues to go south. But the cool thing is, it doesn't end there. There's good news. This is how things get turned around. But if you're taking notes, the first blank there is thinking. And thinking really encompasses it all. That's where it starts. And it goes from thinking in your head to actions that you do, indulging. Well, then we get into the next portion, and this starts in verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ in that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted in its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When I look at a passage like that, I also see other words that stand out to me, such as heard, taught, put off, made new, your mind put on, righteous and holiness. So the first thing I want to do is I want to focus on the word heard. It's interesting that the word heard was used here as opposed to listen. Now, when I think of the difference between heard and listen, every now and then I think of my wife, and sometimes she says, "Now, Joel, are you hearing me or are you listening to me?" And I say, "Huh? You were telling me to take out the trash, I think." Well, maybe I got part of it, but I see hearing as information is floating. It's just coming in. And you're not necessarily tuned into it. You're not necessarily tuned out of it, but information is coming. And think about the progression of someone coming to Christ. Typically, they're not running out on the street and they're not saying, "Hey, I want to know about Christ. Come and talk to me." No, you're talking with them. You're making a difference. Whether, like you saw in the video, you got to go on a mission trip, whether you're working here at our church, wherever it is, you're giving information, and God is taking those little, let's say, dust seeds, and he's planting them, and they're growing. So step one is that we heard the word of God. not necessarily were we listening to it. But then the next component is that we were taught in the Word of God. And this is where it goes from that hearing stage into a more focused direction. It starts with orthodoxy, having right thinking, and moves into orthopraxy, which is right actions and doing the right thing. You can't just take Jesus and listen to all this information and not really apply it. I think of a movie. There was a movie called Walk in the Clouds, something like that, with Keanu Reeves. And he got married right before he goes away to war. And every day he writes his wife a letter. And his wife never read any of those letters. She just has them in a drawer. And so in the letters, he says, okay, I'll be coming home and I'll be here at such and such a time. And he shows up and she's not there. And so he eventually finds his way home and he's like, hey, how, you didn't get my letters? And she's like, no, I got them all, but it was really busy and I just didn't really have a time to read them. And he was devastated. Well, I think about in the same way, you know, God has given us his love letter to us. And do you stop and take time to read that? Well, you know, when we look at hearing and we look at being taught, there's a cool illustration my former senior minister when I was in Portland liked to use. So if you've ever been in the mountains and you're hiking around and you come to a fresh mountain stream, you see this massive amount of water rushing down the mountain, and it's clear. Sometimes it's even blue, which is amazing because it's really cold. Well, the water is flowing, and you're looking at the water, and you're saying that nothing is being left behind. But if you were to try to, like, walk across the river, and you step on a stone, you'll see little residue come off of that stone, and it murkies up the water downstream. Well, the point is that as stuff is rushing over, stuff is being left behind. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, I think of what are you doing? What are you doing to bless others with God's word? Well, you have your kids. So when you're talking to your kids and you're talking to them about the principles of God's word, stuff is being left behind. They may look at you and say, huh? But stuff is being left behind. I think of Sunday school teachers. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. I went to church all the time. But I cannot remember one specific Sunday school lesson. However, at the end of the day, all the work of those teachers put together, I had a very strong grasp on the Bible, the big picture. I knew the stories because those teachers did their job. I think of us when we read the Bible. Do you ever have a time where you say, you know what? My quiet time was really dry. I didn't get anything out of that. Why should I even continue? Well, stuff is being left behind. You know, Pastor Ronnie mentioned a reading plan this year. He also mentioned that you could do it on audio and listen to it. Well, stuff is being left behind. Even if you're not, man, I didn't get anything out of that, you did. It's inside. And as far as teachers, I will take a quick commercial break. We need teachers in Sunday school. We need people who will say, you know what? I want to stand up. I want to be counted. I want to make a difference. And I'm going to tell you why it's so important, especially with children and youth. So we will continue on. Now, this is the part where I struggle. When I was a kid and I grew up, I said, you know what? Why doesn't anybody tell me how to get closer to God? And people would say, well, read your Bible and pray. And I would say, okay. And I would flip through my Bible and I'd come to like the book of Joel, because that's my name. And I'd try to read that. And I'd say, man, what in the world are they talking about? Locusts, and I don't get it. So then I'd flip back to like David killing Goliath, and yeah. And then it's like, okay, it's time to pray. It's, dear God, help me to be a professional hockey player when I grow up, and help me to get the new AT-AT for Christmas. Amen. It's like, man, I just don't feel more spiritual. I did what you guys said. What's going on here? Well, that's where this passage gets interesting. Continuing on with verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Your mind is fascinating. God has designed something pretty incredible that didn't just happen. So first of all, you have your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is where you process things and you make movements. Did you know your conscious mind can do about 2,000 actions per second? So like as I choose to wiggle each finger in different locations, move my elbows, move my head, you know, let's pretend that's like 100 actions. It can do 2,000 at a time, pretty impressive. Well, your subconscious brain can do, and it's hard to gauge because obviously you don't have people with little ticket counters going along, but they believe your subconscious brain can process 400 billion things a second. That is incredible. Now, when you think about something, whatever you're thinking about in your head, as soon as you're done thinking about it, it is chemically and electronically formed to create a branch. And that branch grows in on the inside in your subconscious brain. Well, you've heard whatever you feed grows. So if you think about the wrong thoughts, if you think about being vain or not thankful or how difficult life is and life isn't fair or impurity, those types of things, those are the trees that grow in your subconscious brain. And those are the ones that sprout and go all over the place. Well, if you think about scripture, praying, being grateful to God, honoring God, those are the branches that grow on the other side. Now, being the children's pastor, I wanted to have a video that was cool that also went along with what I was saying. And so you got to go with animation, but how are you going to go with animation that involves the brain? And there just happens to be a Disney movie about that. But before we get into this video, I want to clarify a couple things. One, you'll see what I described in the listening stage. Dad's like, huh? You'll see that. But what's happening in this movie is that branches are being pruned. And there is a natural pruning of branches when a child reaches adolescence. Did you know that an 8-year-old has a 50% greater capacity to create connections between their conscious and their subconscious brain? When they hit adolescence, a lot of those are snipped, and I'll tell you how to make them greater, but before we do, check out this video.
So, Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Signal the husband.
What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up.
What is it, woman? What?
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Take it back, Joy!
Me!
Joy, no,
let's
wait!
Go.
The core memories!
No!
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now?
Nothing's working! Why isn't it working?
We have a major problem.
Oh, I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What was that? Was it a bear?
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
This place is huge.
Imagination Land?
No way.
Dream Productions?
Rainbow Unicorn.
She's right there.
I loved you in Fairy Dream Adventure Part 7. Okay, bye. I love you. You can't focus on what's going wrong. There's always a way to turn things around. It's Broccoli.
Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza.
right. Well, thank you very much. So if you haven't seen that movie, it's pretty entertaining. But what's amazing is that it's accurate on how our brain works. So it's actually kind of like an adult movie wrapped up in a kid's movie that happens to be fun, which is pretty cool. Well, what's interesting is those of you that are familiar with Dr. Gary Smalley, before he passed away, he was doing some research. And one of the things that he believes that I would concur with is that when science or scientists refer to the subconscious brain, he believes that that is what the Bible is referring to as our heart. Think about some of these verses when you play this together. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart, know my thoughts. Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 4:23, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So I honestly believe that he makes a compelling case that our subconscious, the things you think about, are planted in our heart, and that's where they grow. And you've seen the illustration on TV where they say, you know, you have one dog on one side and another dog on the other side, and the one that you feed is the one that grows. Well, in the same way, what we put in our heart is what grows, and it's constantly sending information back into our conscious brain, and then that's what we think about. My prayer is that we would think about good things. Think about Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Those are the things that you dwell on. They'll change your attitude, but ultimately, that's how you put off your old self, what you focus on in your brain. It's kind of like the battlefield. If you win there, you can win in the actions as well. So it's kind of like they've given us a master plan on how to do it. And I have a little illustration. So and this is why I have the brain on there. Hopefully I was hoping that my brain would be hollow and you could do little slashes in your brain, but this is the one we had. But so when you go like that, magically something appears. And when you think about something, it's almost like you've created a game trail. A tiny little trail, but the more you think about it, the bolder it becomes. Now it's a farm to market road. And the more you think about it, it becomes KDI-10, where it's like 14 lanes across. And so we want to have brains that are focusing on the things of God. That's how you put off your old self and put on righteousness and holiness, which is our prayer. And once again, I go back to children, and when you're having quiet time at home or after your mealtime and you want to read the Bible and they're squirrely and resisting and saying, I don't want to listen, you're planting seeds. Be faithful. Do it. If you can do something 35% of the time in a child's life, they're going to remember it when the pruning comes. If you just do it once or twice and say, that was too much work, skip it. It's not going to last. So invest over and over and over. And here at church, we have opportunities to invest over and over and over. Children's ministry, youth ministry, connection groups, missions. You know, I'm aware that our FriendSpeak program has people on a waiting list, just waiting for someone to tell them about God. So I would encourage you to look around and say, where can I serve? Where can I serve more? A famous quote that I really like is by Stephen Olford. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you investing in things of eternity, people's soul, the Word of God? Well, with that, we're going to pray. So please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you designed us. And it's pretty amazing and that it didn't just happen. And that there are things inside our heads that literally blow our minds because they're so intricate. And yet it makes sense. Things work. When we follow your principles, we grow in your ways. When we act in opposition to your principles, there is difficulty and darkness and despair. And so, Father, I just pray that we would go to reflect your light in our homes, in our communities and in our church, and that you would raise up volunteers to stand in the gap, to make a difference. When you watch the news and it's so discouraging, and as people try to solve problems, the problems are right in front of us. We can make a difference, and I pray that we would, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.